We are delighted to have David McCullough bring us John Adams to the party. And John Adams, at a moment when he really was changing the course of world history, July the 1st, 1776.
He stood amidst his fellow delegates to the Second Continental Congress, having just heard, as they all had, a really brilliant Philadelphia attorney, member of Congress, John Dickinson, argue in favor of not signing the Declaration of Independence, of putting it off. And Dickinson was as able an attorney, as powerful a pleader as Adams. And he was a true patriot. And the case he made so vividly was that to proceed with a Declaration of Independence at that point would be to, quote, brave the storm in a skiff made of paper. And he sat down, and nobody said anything. And then Adams felt that he had to say something, and he got up. And because no records were kept, no minutes were kept, and the reason for that was that the city was riddled with spies and Tories, and they were all acting as traitors, and nobody wanted to be
You mean the Americans who were not yet called Americans.
That's right. These are British subjects who are declaring independence, and that's an act of treason. They could be, if they'd been captured, they would be hanged. And so we don't know precisely what he said, but we have a pretty good idea. And he said some things in a letter that he wrote only a few days before that are probably close to what he said. And in the letter he wrote, "Objects of the most stupendous magnitude, measures in which the lives and liberties of millions, born and unborn, are most essentially interested, are now before us." I'll just stop a minute to make the point that they know that they are taking part, they are actors, if you will, in a great drama, great historic drama, and they want to live up to their parts. This notion of of politics as theater, politics as a stage, is all through what they wrote.
Big stage.
Big stage. If it's a small stone that's being dropped in a small puddle, the waves are going to go far beyond the puddle. We are in the very midst of revolution, the most complete, unexpected, and remarkable of any in the history of the world. They know how important what they're doing is. And Jefferson later said that Adams was not graceful, nor elegant, nor remarkably fluent in his speech, but spoke with a power of thought and expression that moved us from our seats. And he would later call Adams the Colossus of Independence.
And of course,
Jefferson, who is so remembered for the Declaration of Independence, is the one who wrote it. But it was Adams who said that Jefferson must write it.
It was also interesting, as you explored the life of Adams, to see the reflection, if you will, of Jefferson in particular. I thought I knew a little bit about Jefferson, but I didn't know nearly what I thought I did. And time again, I had the sense, as you tell these very individual stories, that you're telling a much bigger story than a guy.
Oh, of course. I thank you for saying that. Of course. When one writes a book which seems to be and is straight narrative, you know, constructed, presented, unfolded in the narrative form, you're trying to achieve something than just telling the story. And I feel that that particular segment, that particular chapter in our history, is of greater importance to us now than any time in my lifetime.
Because
we are raising a generation of young Americans who are, alas, largely historically illiterate, even students on the best of our college campuses, which has been revealed in a number of very thorough recent surveys and studies. We also, of course, have thousands, millions of new Americans, new citizens coming into the country. That's not new, but they're coming from very different cultures, very different backgrounds, traditions, and who know very little about any of this. And to not know about it and not understand it isn't just a sign of regrettable ignorance. It's dangerous. And it shouldn't just make us sad. It should make us a little angry. We've failed in our education of our children. And if there's anything that John Adams personifies, it is the idea, the fundamental idea, that our system will not work if our populace is not educated. And particularly educated is, how did we get where we are? What are these bedrock ideas and ideals by which we live, through which we so benefit? Are we so indifferent? Do we have such little gratitude that we don't care? We have, for example, an independent judiciary in this country.
Well, of course we do.
Yes, and how did that happen? It didn't fall out of the sky.
Oh, yeah. Well, it must have. It was one of those things that just happened.
It was one of the Ten Commandments, I think. No.
We have a two-part legislature. We have a three-part balanced system of legislation, legislative, executive, judicial.
But
who remembers
that, yes, John Adams says structure is the most important thing you can do as you're setting out on this adventure?
Why do we have freedom of speech? Why do we have freedom of religion? Why was it important to have independence in order to have freedom? We say free and independent. We actually should say independent and free, because you couldn't have freedom until you had independence, which was Adams' point.
You couldn't have freedom unless you were independent.
That's right.
That is a huge notion that is completely forgotten.
Yes, and of course, some people like Adams, particularly in New England, came from a tradition of the independent, free man. Man, I emphasize then, meaning men and women.
Who were not of color.
And it was Adams who, 10 years before the federal Constitution, wrote the oldest written Constitution still in use in the world today.
And that of Massachusetts.
The Commonwealth of Massachusetts, which predates the national or federal Constitution by 10 years. And it's essentially the same structure. It has an independent judiciary. And it has, among other things, a Bill of Rights and a clause that just shines out like a jewel still shines from the year 1779 when it was passed. And that is, and nothing like this had ever been said in the Constitution before, it shall be the duty of the government to educate everybody. Adams' interest in the education of his children, his insistence that his son John, when they're in Leiden, study all the ramifications in the structure of the University of Leiden, where he's a student, to bring that back home. Adams writes again and again, we must establish a system whereby everybody can have an education and where higher education isn't just reserved for a few. He is himself an example of the power and the value of education. It's commonly said that, and we hear it all the time, that Andrew Jackson was the first man from the people. Andrew Jackson was from the people, but he wasn't the first. John Adams was. John Adams was a farmer's son. John Adams' mother was illiterate. His father, we know, could sign his name, but we don't know much more than that. He prized learning, however, Deacon John Adams, the father of John Adams. And John Adams never stopped reading. He said when he got to Harvard on the scholarship, I read forever. He actually read forever until his dying day, until he could no longer see to read. He was the most broadly read and the most deeply read American of his bookish time, even more than Jefferson.
That's saying so.
And he's a farmer's son. I keep repeating that.
This is a curious contraposition almost in what you're describing. On the one hand, you talked about the hardship of just getting through the day and the amount of time required and just how hard everything was. And you talk of your anger, legitimate anger, at the current state of affairs where we don't know these things, we're not learning these things as a community, as individuals. And at the same time, somehow or other, in the face of all that hardship, a person like John Adams, and it wasn't just John Adams, found the time, made the time, created the time to educate himself or to allow himself to be educated in a fashion that allowed him to be and become the things you're talking about.
To which we will return in just a moment with David McCullough, who will tell us more about John Adams and a number of other very interesting things about America, which he will bring both the passion of your learning and the concerns you have for the current time. Please be with us when we return in a moment with The Paula Gordon Show.